Thank you, Secretary Tilden. Well, Mr. Linton, it's been a long time since you've appeared on town meeting, but I'm sure you remember your discussion with Mr. Frank Bain here in town hall on December 10th, 1936, just as our federal Social Security program was getting underway. Then as now, we were aware of your leadership in the insurance field and your special interest and qualifications to discuss this subject. For in addition to your position as president of the Provident Mutual Life Insurance Company of Philadelphia, you've served as a member of the advisory councils on the Social Security from 1938 to 1948. We're happy to welcome you back to town meeting, Mr. Albert Linton.
Secretary Tobin and I agree that there is a pension problem in this country and that something should be done about it. As I see it, the question is how and to what extent the problem should be met by government through taxation. Mr. Tobin is for an expanded and improved Social Security program, so am I. The annoying trouble with old age pensions is that they cost a lot of money. To provide a person age 65 with a pension of $100 a month for life, you need the equivalent of nearly $15,000 in cash at the time age 65 is reached. There is a limit to what we can safely and properly do in levying taxes. If the burden is too heavy, our economy will go backward. Taxes for pensions may take money that should fairly be used for the care and upbringing of children. The problem is acute because the tax gatherer already is taking so much of our money. War, man's greatest enemy, demands more than $25 billion for military expenditures, veterans' benefits, and interest on a huge war debt. Governmental expenses and foreign aid demand at least $15 billion. State and local governments take another $11 billion. Thus, before pensions enter the picture, government is already spending at least $51 billion, or about 23% of our national income. The tax load to pay such expenses reduces the standard of living for everybody. Many of the taxes are hidden. For example, an automobile costing $1,900 includes $400 to $450 of taxes. Taxes also do damage by drying up the sources of venture or risk capital. Without an adequate supply of such capital, we shall go backward. Instead of creating more and more wealth to be shared, the amount of wealth per person will fail to increase or will decline. England is learning that lesson the hard way. The question, therefore, boils down to something like this. By how much should the living standards of the working population and their children be cut down so that the living standards of retired persons may be raised? Let's look at some of the figures. There are about 11 million persons in this country age 65 or over, of whom about 3 million are now working. Mr. Tobin's proposal would produce old age benefits for retired workers averaging close to $100 a month. Under Social Security, the wife at age 65 or over would receive 50% of that sum, making $150 per couple, $1,800 a year. Under the old age insurance system, very few persons would receive pensions of that size for many years to come. Eventually, however, these pensions would cost a huge sum, probably $20 billion or more a year. Today, there are about 8 persons aged 20 to 64 for each person aged 65 or over. 25 years hence, the estimate is only 5 persons aged 20 to 64 for each person over 65. We'd better be careful about promising larger pensions in the future than we are prepared to pay today. We are now collecting taxes to pay pensions. In 1950, the taxes to support old age assistance and to provide old age benefits under Social Security may come close to $4 billion. This may cause the total tax load to approach $55 billion if the budget is to be balanced. To obtain the money to pay now to all retired persons what Mr. Tobin would promise for the future would probably make it necessary to add $3 to $4 billion to the tax bill. But the budget, with its approximately $55 billion in prospective expenditures, is already billions in the red. Unless other expenses can be reduced, the new taxes coming in and being paid out as pensions would leave us as much in the red as we were before. On top of our present tax load, they might be enough to break the camel's back and bring on a depression. In that event, all, particularly the aged, would suffer. When we consider that our huge budget is several billions out of balance, that on the average, the working force of the country is working the equivalent of 8 to 10 hours every week, 400 to 500 hours every year, merely to pay the taxes now being imposed, would we be willing to work to make greater provision for old age than we are now making? Wouldn't it be wiser to see whether we can make better use of the $4 billion we are now collecting for pensions before increasing our tax burdens?
Thank you, Mr. Linden.